Do you ever wonder why your partner does or says the things that they do? Today, we're going to be exploring perspectives. Why having different perspectives in your relationship and being able to take on different perspectives really matters and how you can do it. If you'd like to find out more about improving your relationship or how to create fulfilling relationships, even if you don't have one at the moment, head over to therelationshipmaze.com where we have lots of free resources. And you can take our online conflict style quiz and discover your conflict style in relationships. And press subscribe right now. Welcome to today's podcast. And today we're going to be talking about perspectives. Why perspectives matter in your relationships and how you can improve your ability to explore what's really going on with your partner.
Yeah, so why does it matter? Well, I'm thinking about couples therapy, where usually most partners initially come to see me because they want to tell me how awful their partner is or how hurtful they've been, what they've done, what they've said. That was really unacceptable. And I suppose ultimately they want me to agree with them. So there's always this tendency, naturally, of course, to blame your partner and to be hurt. And of course, what couples therapy is all about is not me telling one or the other partner that they should stop what they're doing, but it is really about being able to step into each other's shoes, to generate more understanding about the motivation of the partner, why they have said or done what they did, to really kind of get some idea of, you know, what's happening in their world. So this is the thing, this is what's required, and it's the hardest thing in the world, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, it's such a powerful thing to be able to take someone else's perspective, but really challenging because we spend our lives in our own minds and our own experience and often forget that people have different experiences. And I think, you know, it doesn't just apply in relationships.
Absolutely.
It's also in all areas of life. Mm. Like an example, I remember years ago I was running a workshop on stress management in an organization. I ran it for two different groups, and one were the sort of some of the assistant roles. And I remember there was this person who was an assistant to somebody saying how stressed they were because their boss didn't seem to respect what they did. They'd just give the work back and just say, redo it and do that again. Mm. And they felt that they weren't appreciated. They felt they weren't any good.
Mm.
Weirdly, I was working with another group, and it turns out I was then working with the manager who was giving this work, who was saying what amazing personal assistant this was. And I don't know what the role is now, called now, but that's what it was called back then, that he could just give the work and just say, just redo it, and his assistant would redo it. It was just like, just saying how amazing his assistant was. So to this person was incredible, but he wasn't showing it. He wasn't expressing it in a way that let her realise just how much she was appreciated.
Mm.
It's just amazing that you can see two completely different experiences from the same situation.
Mm, absolutely. And it would be interesting. So if you had both of these people in the room and you would have done some work with them simultaneously, it would have been interesting to explore that, what was going on for them. And it would have been really interesting for both parties to hear what the other had to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the key, is that so much of the time we assume that the other person has a certain intention behind what they're saying or doing.
Mm.
But we forget that that assumption comes from within us.
Sure.
We don't really know what's going on for them. Like you said, you know, if you've got these two people in a room, you could have an incredible transformation.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose even that surprise about these different perspectives could really be quite powerful.
Well, it could be, but it's also extremely challenging because we only see the world through our own lenses, right? Through our own eyes. Because we see the world through our own lenses because we learn to see the world in a particular way. So we have our own interpretations, our understandings of situations. And it's so extremely difficult to move from that and to move in the direction of someone else. To really try to see it through their lens is a real challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a metaphor that, and I'll probably get this a little bit wrong, but where there's two fish swimming in a bowl of water. And one fish goes to the other one and says, "How's the water today?" And everyone's saying, "Water? What's water?" Because they're in the water. They don't know they're in it. They don't know this exists because they're just seeing everything through their experience.
Mm.
So it's only when we start to realise that, you know, we see the world through our own lens, which is created by our experiences, that we can start to actually realise that there could be something else going on for somebody else as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the starting point, therefore, has to be an exploration of our own perspective initially to understand, where am I coming from? How do I make sense of the world? How do I interpret particular situations? And also, why do I make these interpretations? Or what, you know, why do I come to these particular assumptions that I have? If I can't do that, if I can't really take as a starting point my own perspective, then I think it's quite hard to struggle to take someone else's, would you say?
Yes, I think absolutely. Or at least acknowledging that your perspective isn't the only perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you need to have an awareness that, you know, we're seeing the world through our lenses, but we don't necessarily need to know all of those beliefs, all of those things that drive it, as long as we're open to the possibility of exploring that someone else may have something very different. I think actually through exploring a different perspective, that also may give you more insight into the reality that your kind of experience is very different. I think, you know, the ability to self-reflect, ability for self-awareness is really important. But I think that can develop even more fully when we start to explore the other person's perspective. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm just sort of thinking that it's very hard for you. I mean, you know, obviously, particularly in relationships, and I'm talking about relationships in general, not just romantic relationships. We have a particular trigger point. So there are situations where somebody says or does something that is deeply hurtful to us because of our own earlier experiences, where we have been hurt in the past, where we've not been listened to, we've not been seen, we've not been considered. So that's a trigger point in a relationship. So I might then take, if I get triggered, I might then take this perspective that, oh, here we go again, this other person is trying to hurt me. I feel really offended, I feel wounded by this. And I might then also assume that they're doing that deliberately, or that they're doing that, well, maybe not deliberately, but callously, without consideration. So if I don't have an understanding of this trigger point for me, for myself, if I don't understand that this is a particular wound for me, then I will always take that perspective and I will always automatically jump to a particular conclusion or have an automatic reaction to what the other person does. So in that particular scenario, from that perspective, I find it important to understand what it is that motivates me or what it is that leads me to have an assumption about somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes in the room, when you're working with a couple or two people in any sort of context, it's when you hear what's going on for the other person, then you realise that maybe there is a different perspective, though. It may not be necessary that you come to that conclusion on your own. So, for example, I've worked with lots of people with anxiety, and a common experience that I find is a lot of people, especially some guys, because in the UK, sort of the culture is much more of that stiff upper lip, like don't express your emotions as a man. And so, for example, several people I've worked with have expressed that in the past they've known people with anxiety and been off work, and they've been very dismissive. But then they've developed anxiety and suddenly have started to think, how could I not realise how difficult this was for them? So suddenly having that experience, you know, gives you the insight into what's going on for somebody else. And you can have that experience as well through discussion, through exploration. But you kind of have to have something, the awareness to be able to relate to what the other person's saying. So again, in couples therapy, I think it's the level of wounding, the level that somebody's holding on to that blame or to the pain is going to determine how easy it is for them to take the insight. Because it might be in a room, one person says, actually, my intention was this. I was doing this because of X, Y, and Z. But if someone's very firmly clear, where they have this belief that people are out to hurt me, for example, or partners would lie to me, whatever they say, they may see as a lie or an attempt to hurt or just an excuse. So I suppose the challenge is, you know, it depends on that level of wounding, that level of basically defense mechanisms that, you know, spring up unconsciously to protect you from potential wounding in the future that actually, in unfortunately, end up to disrupt the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the work of the couple, of couples therapy, always to get to the bottom of that and to understand why do I receive this particular behavior by you as so wounding? What is it that is so hurtful to me? Because it might not be clear. Well, a lot of the time, of course, it isn't clear, and it's not necessarily intentional by the other partner to cause that wounding. So it's actually learning to understand that first of all. So it's like this introspection before you can understand what's happening on the other side. But that's difficult because also, you know, we can, as I say, we are sort of trapped in our own perspective a lot of the time, in our own way of seeing and experiencing the world. And trying to understand our partner always entails crossing a gulf. I think there's always a gulf. I'm not you, you're not me. So we're trying to approximate each other's experiences of the world. And that's the challenge. But I mean, that's also the opportunity in some ways, because it can be very exciting, of course, to discover, oh, there's a completely different way of perceiving here, a completely different way of thinking about the world. When you're open to that, because I think then, you know, then a lot of new perspectives open up and you can integrate new experiences into your own life. But that's more easily said than done. I mean, that obviously requires quite a bit of work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually one thing that can give some great insight into this is, well, you know, like an actor. Because an actor, when they're looking into a role, they have to kind of explore what's going on for that other person. Dramas can be quite a great way to actually get an insight into different perspectives. So there's a quote, something along the lines of, to know somebody, you have to walk a mile in their shoes. Like an actor might actually put on the clothes of the other person and kind of, you know, even take on the walking style of the other person they're kind of they're playing the role of, just to get an insight into what's really might be going on for them, exploring the beliefs, the past, the history. And that's a great way to begin to open up, but there's different ways of being. And I think, you know, in terms of exploring what might be going on for other people, it's a similar thing in terms of being able to step out of your shoes and imagine stepping into the shoes of, for example, your partner or somebody at work, and just imagine actually what really might be going on for this person. And the difference is being able to imagine what's going on for this person, not so much what do I think is going on for that person, which of course it's always a bit of what you think, but you know, if you step into someone else's shoes, like your partner's shoes, and you imagine, okay, what's going on for them. And you're responding, for example, well, I'm just a nasty person. Clearly, you're not in their shoes. You're in your shoes, kind of imagining, you know, it's your experience. But that's when you start to explore what could cause this person to behave this way. What could be creating these sort of ways of thinking in this person? That can be a really great exercise to actually just begin to imagine that you could step into the shoes of the other person and explore. From, you know, as if you're them, what's going on for you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's your intention?
Yeah, so absolutely. And that's in couples therapy. So, for example, one of the exercises that we do there is that I might ask a couple to literally switch positions as they're sitting on the sofa and to talk from the other person's perspective, to imagine what their partner might say in relation to a particular situation. And that might open up some, you know, some approximation, as I say, of what the other partner might experience. But a lot of the time, I think actually what it basically boils down to also is to be able to listen. And we all think we listen, but most of the time we don't listen, particularly when there's a more, when there's an argument, when there's a conflict, or when there's a different position that you both take in relation to a particular topic. You're usually very invested in communicating, letting your partner know what you think about it without actually making the time to listen to what they have to say. And in order to be able to take on the perspective of your partner, of course, you have to listen. And that seems very simple, but really isn't. So I can see this with couples all of the time, that it's quite hard to actually tolerate even to listen to what their partner has to say. Yet, if you can't learn to do that, then you can't really cross that gulf.
Yeah, and I think this touches on something you spoke about in a podcast from a long time ago, which is, I think, sometimes the issue with listening, when it's a heated conversation, we talked about the brain, is that, you know, it's like normally the frontal cortex, the part that's rational, the part that kind of reasons, it's like, you know, it's active. Yeah. But when we get into that emotional state, it closes down and we start responding emotionally. Mm-hmm. We go into that limbic system response. So essentially that ability to really listen, that ability to really kind of process, to take on different perspectives, shuts down.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, something that's really important to listen and to be able to take someone else's perspective is to be able to regulate yourself emotionally.
Yeah.
Because if you're not able to regulate yourself emotionally, you know, the frontal cortex is more offline, so we're not able to kind of get into that deeper sort of processing that's needed to take on a different perspective.
That's a really good point. So, and I think what that also highlights is that sometimes we need to have a bit of time out in order to, as you say, be, you know, have our neocortex functioning properly so that we can reflect, that we can actually be open, because in that moment we're not open, we're just defensive. So therefore, yes, it's absolutely important also to make the time, to set aside some time where you can say, I've now got the capacity to listen to you for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, don't make it too long, to really take on board what you've got to tell me without coming in with my own perceptions, just to hear what you've got to say. That's got to happen in a moment when you have capacity to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So it might not be in a conflict moment, but what you can agree on, for example, is that if you can't resolve that conflict at that point in time, that you pick it up a little while later when you've both sort of soothed your systems a little bit and you have that ability to properly engage with what the partner has got to bring.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of also, I think, brings to mind another podcast we did a little while ago, where we're talking about ways to communicate what's going on for you in a way that doesn't bring up defences. Because it's how we communicate that can make the other person defensive or is more likely to bring up a defensiveness. And again, we also have a lot more of this on our website, therelationshipmaze.com, and our online course, The Relationship Maze, which basically is just helping to learn how to communicate and helping to listen at a deeper level. But I think what we were talking about is, what I was talking about was the feedback wheel. I think it's called the feedback wheel. So, you know, in essence, what we're doing is describing very neutrally what happened, as if it was like in a movie, but taking out any blame, taking out judgment. So the other day, when you were speaking to me about X, and then, you know, exploring what meaning you took from that. I interpreted that, or in my mind, I imagined that meant X. Yeah. And I think that's the key, is that anytime we respond to something emotionally, it's because we're making some meaning from it.
Absolutely.
But we don't really know the meaning from it. And now, of course, sometimes in relationships, people do go out to hurt the other person. So it's not that they don't always do that, but a lot of the time we interpret things where it's unintentional, that the other person does have a very different intention. And so that's why, you know, sort of when you did that, in my mind I imagined that this, or I interpreted this as being that you were kind of trying to put me down, or I was being put down. So then you're making it clear that you're imagining this. This is your interpretation. And then saying how you felt. And I felt upset. I felt anxious as a result. And what I'd prefer is when we're having a conversation to do X, Y, and Z. So you're owning your response. I think that's really important, is to be able to own our own responses to things. Because it's too easy to jump in and blame.
Yeah, or to say something like, you make me feel bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your partner can't really do that. You can do that to yourself.
Yeah, and of course there are things we know that if we say, it's likely to make somebody feel bad. But a lot of things we say that we really don't know, because we have a different experience. So we can't really, I believe, we can't be completely responsible for how somebody is going to respond to things. You know, obviously if some things more likely than others, we have to be, you know, really responsible for our own reactions.
Yeah.
or particularly the responses to those reactions. So notice what's going on when somebody says or does something, and notice what this brings up for you. Where, you know, what's caused us to respond in this way? Is it really what the person said, or does it remind us of something from the past? Is it one of our triggers?
Yeah, exactly. Is the partner projection surface, yeah? So yeah. Is the partner actually... So when you have a very strong emotional response or reaction to what your partner says or does... You might want to also think about, well, who have I actually got in front of me here right now? Is it my partner or is it somebody from my past who caused me a lot of hurt in the past?
Yeah.
That might also enable you then to take a different perspective. But again, it's about knowing yourself well enough to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why when we were writing the course, the Relationship Maze course, we spent the first module is all about knowing, getting to know yourself, right?
Yeah.
To have some sense of what created your particular perspective of the world.
Yeah.
Because if you can't really step back from that, then you can't understand others.
No, absolutely. And, you know, if you, like you said, if you've had a lot of wounding in the past, if you have been lied to a lot in previous relationships, then we're naturally going to start to think, well, somebody might be lying to me, for example. Mm. So when your partner says something where it brings up this sort of belief or people are lying to me, then we're going to jump on that as an example. I've seen this many times where people have been treated really badly. And then there's that automatic sort of filter that tends to kind of see that this person is maybe, you know, doing something behind their backs or whatever it happens to be. Mm. And that can be really challenging because we can start to create that rift in a relationship.
Mm.
You know, once that rift is created, it may be that, you know, for our projection that we partly create this this experience where we blame the other person.
Mm. Yeah. And we're waiting for this opportunity always to finally be heard, which is what we want from our partner. We want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to be valued, we want to be loved. And anything that might be experienced as a rupture along those lines is extremely painful, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So what might be an exercise that you've kind of experienced or you might take people through to help them gain a perspective of their partner, for example?
Well, one that I just mentioned is the switching positions. It's like talking. What we do a lot in couples therapy is what's called circular questioning. So it's this idea that you are inviting one partner to talk from the perspective of the other. So that is really, A, it clarifies the partner's understanding of what they think their partner is doing or intending. And it clarifies also for the other partner what their partner perceives them to be doing. So it clarifies for both partners what they're experiencing. Mm. And also can be very validating for the other partner. So if I asked you, so what do you think I was intending? And I describe it very accurately, that can be very validating for the other one. So it's always this idea of trying to explore the world through the eyes of the other.
Mm.
That's part of that kind of work that we do. It's very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And I think sometimes as well, an exercise that I've done, which we talked about, like sitting in the seat that the other person might be sitting in, imagining you're them. They don't even have to be in the room.
Yeah.
But there's another perspective as well I think can be helpful, which is then sitting outside and imagining you see yourself and your partner and begin to notice the arc and flow of the communication. So how what you say and how you say it and your behavior, even how you're sitting, has an impact on the other person, how their expression, their behavior then impacts you. And it's trying to get from that outside perspective, how it's not just the intentions, not just what's said and done, but that continual flow of that interaction between that communication can then build it up and make it even more intense or kind of make it worse.
Yeah, so any kind of activity that you can think of where you have to imagine you are the other person and imagine what they are thinking, what they're feeling, what they're saying, what they're doing is hugely important in terms of gaining that understanding and insight.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's something, maybe a takeaway thing, is that the next time somebody says something and you notice yourself responding in a way where you feel kind of maybe blamed towards them or maybe thinking they have a certain intention that maybe they don't, is imagine you were that person and imagine, you know, what could be going on for this person? What could cause this person to say or do what they've said?
Yeah, and you can also actually, another activity that comes to mind is appreciative inquiry. So where actually you have that curiosity and you ask yourself, or you might even ask your partner, well, why did you just do that? What motivated you to do or say this? Can you explain? You ask as many questions about what your partner is doing as possible to gain an understanding of, you know, what's going on in their world. So that's also an activity that can be really interesting. And you can push it as far as you want to, ask as many questions as you can possibly imagine, to really try to want to understand what is going on for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So please tune in again next week. And if you also head over to our website, therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of free resources, and our course, The Relationship Maze. We also offer counselling for individuals and for couples as well. And we've got more information on the website. Press subscribe right now, and we look forward to speaking with you next time.
Take good care until then.